If you would, take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Samuel. We've been studying the book of 2 Samuel for a while now. And I want you to go to chapter 3, though, this morning. This past Sunday, we looked briefly at a man by the name of Joab. And in our text, 2 Samuel, by the way, if you need a handout, lift up your hand high. Our ushers will be glad to bring you one if we missed you on the way in. Just lift your hand up if we missed you. In 2 Samuel 20, we saw a man by the name of Joab. And Joab murdered the general of David's armies, Amasa. The ironic part about that, if you remember last week, is that both the men believed in the same cause, were serving the same nation, and were serving under the same king. But yet Joab murdered his comrade there. Why did Joab do that? Was he justified in that murder? And more importantly, who is the man Joab? Because after all, he's mentioned over 100 times in the Bible, and he is a key figure in the book of 2 Samuel, the book that we've been studying. In your handout, it may come as a surprise to you to know this. Look in your handout. Joab was actually the nephew of King David. He was the nephew of King David. Joab's mother, Zariah, isn't that a beautiful name for a lady? Zariah. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, can't you just see a little girl being born, you know? What are you going to name her? Let's name her Zariah. Isn't that a nice name? Zariah. She had three kids. Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. What are y'all laughing at? You don't like the name Asahel? That's how you pronounce it. I looked it up. I always look these names up before I get up here to make sure I'm pronouncing them right. And it's actually pronounced Asahel. Now, don't get off on that, all right? Stay with me. All three of these boys, David's nephews, they were commanders in David's army. Joab's really a fascinating guy, and I think we can all learn some valuable lessons from his life. So I want to do a character study of Joab this morning. Who is the man Joab? Number one in your handout, Joab was a mighty warrior. Joab was a mighty warrior. When David was first coming to power, and his army went to Jerusalem, which at that time was called Jebus, David made a decree, and he said, whatever man smites the Jebusites, who were the ones that were in Jerusalem, whoever smites the Jebusites first, David said, I'm going to make that man general of my army. 1 Chronicles 11 tells us, the Bible says, Joab went up first and was chief. This was a key victory for David, and the Bible teaches that after this victory, David would become, would wax greater and greater. Joab went on to experience some other great military victories. For example, 1 Kings 11:15 tells us that he won a victory over the Edomites. In 2 Samuel 10, we studied the story of how he went out and he defeated the Syrians and the Ammonites who had become allies against Israel, and Joab went out and he led the way and led the victory over the Syrians and the Ammonites. Also, when Absalom, King David's own son, raised up a rebellion against his dad, Joab went out to war and he ended up helping to squash him along with two other generals in David's army, squashed that rebellion. And so there's no debating the fact that this man Joab was at times very brave, very courageous, and was in fact an incredible warrior and a great military mind. When it came to military strategy and when it came to courage, he was very gifted and he was very talented. But Joab had a couple of huge blind spots that would ultimately lead to his undoing. Now, by the way, all of us in here, every person here under the sound of my voice, there is good and bad in all of us. Amen? What we have to do is we have to submit to the Lord, and we have to ask the Lord to chip those rough edges off of us that need to be chipped off, and ask the Lord and allow the Lord to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ, to where we reflect Christ to other people. You know, all of us, when we get saved, we all have issues, we all have weaknesses, we all have obnoxious traits, and we all have baggage that we carry from the past. I got one lady to say amen to that. Nobody else is obnoxious in here. All right. But we all have that. Amen? And so we need the Lord to work on us and to help shape and mold us, you know, into the image of Christ. Well, Joab didn't do that. Joab never got it. There's no evidence in Scripture he ever got it. He had some huge blind spots and never allowed the Lord to correct him in his life. The first one was this. Number two in your handout there. Joab was a bitter and vengeful man. He was a bitter and a vengeful man. This is not an isolated instance where he was bitter once. I mean, this is a recurring problem that we see. In fact, when he's first mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 3, which is where I hope you're opened up to, when he's first mentioned, this is what we see. Let me give you the background of chapter 3. We've covered this material, but it was a long time ago. So let me remind you. Okay, we get a glimpse here into Joab because King Saul, who was the king before David, died. Well, King Saul's highest military chief, his name was Abner. After Saul died, Abner did what was typical in those days. Abner, the chief military guy, takes Saul's son, Ishbosheth, and makes him the new king. So you've got the northern tribe, you've got about 10 or 11 tribes following Saul's son, Ishbosheth. But then you've got the tribe of Judah down here in Israel. They made David their king. Well, what you have in chapter 2 is civil war breaks out in the nation. Just like America went through a civil war, Israel goes through a civil war because they've been fragmented, and now they've really got two kings. Well, when the civil war breaks out, Abner, remember he's the head military guy over here for King Saul's son, in the midst of the battle, Abner is being chased by Joab's brother, Asahel. And Asahel is chasing Joab, and Joab is looking behind him, and he basically, I'm going to paraphrase, says, "Back off, I don't want to have to kill you." This young man just keeps following him. He says a second time, "Back off, I don't want to have to kill you. You're Joab's brother, and I don't want to have to look Joab in the eyes and know I killed him. Back off." He keeps coming after Abner, and so Abner, in self-defense, it was his life or Asahel's, he kills Asahel. In chapter 3, Abner gives his allegiance to David. Abner leaves Saul's camp, comes over to David's camp, and he persuades all the elders in those other tribes that were following Ishbosheth, he persuades them also to come over to David's side. Abner was a key tool that God used to make David king over all of Israel. So now you got Abner and Joab on the same side. How did Joab respond? Go to chapter 3 and look at verse 26 and let me show you how he responds. Chapter 3, verse 26. "And when Joab was come out from David, and he was very upset that David had allowed Abner to come over to their cause." Okay, you can read that up ahead of there. But it says, "When Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not." He didn't know what Joab was up to. "And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly." Now, "Hey, come over here, man. I want to talk to you privately." And the Bible says that Joab smote him there under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Joab had been carrying extreme bitterness in his heart over an act of war that was not even Abner's fault. And so in cold blood, he murders Abner. Now, we're going to see later on in the message that the scriptures clearly tell us Abner was a more righteous and a more noble man than Joab. But yet Joab could not get past the spirit of bitterness and the spirit of revenge. He puts King David in a terrible spot by doing this, and it could have divided the kingdom again. Remember, these 10 other tribes have just come over to David's cause. Now, David's own nephew and one of David's chief men kills their former leader, Abner, who's brought them all over to David's side. You can imagine what the stir that this could have caused in civil war to break out again. David very wisely, though, look at verse 28. Notice what David does. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Let it rest on the head of Joab and on all his father's house. Verse 30, so Joab and Abishai, his brother, slew Abner. Why? Because he had slain their brother Asahel at Gibeon, notice, in the battle. It was an act of war. And then David goes on in this chapter to lead a huge burial service honoring Abner. And so he's trying to smooth this thing over. He's trying to give honor to Abner, to whom honor is due. Look at verse 37. Verse 37. David said, or rather the Bible says, for all the people and all Israel understood that day that it was not of the king to slay Abner, the son of Ner. They knew David was not in on it. Verse 38. They knew that Joab was acting independently on his own, not under orders from the king. Look at verse 38. And the king said unto his servants, know ye not that there is a prince and a great man fallen this day in Israel? Talking about Abner. And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zariah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. You know who the sons of Zariah were? Abishai and Joab. And he said, man, these guys are too hard. That means they're too obstinate. They're too cruel. They're too mean-spirited for me. So in 2 Samuel 20, if you'll turn over there, we see the spirit of bitterness again manifested in Joab. This time he's going to murder another man. And this man's name is Amasa. Why does he murder Amasa? We covered this last week. Amasa had done wrong. Now stay with me. I know this is a little bit like a soap opera, but stay with me, okay? Amasa had done wrong. How? He followed Absalom in his rebellion against his dad. So Amasa had done wrong. There's no doubt about it. But Amasa came back to David, and David forgave him. Now, when that happened, David did not write off Amasa forever. He forgave him and was willing to allow him to be used again in the service of the king, and he gives him a job to do in chapter 20, verse number 4. Now, Joab, on the other hand, was not like David. He was not willing to forgive Amasa. And I believe he was probably intimidated by Amasa too, afraid that Amasa is going to get his position. So what he does is he murders Amasa in cold blood as soon as he got the chance. Look with me at verse 9. Chapter 20, verse 9. And Joab said to Amasa, art thou in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with the right hand to kiss him. But Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand. So he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. Did Amasa deserve to be murdered? The Bible clearly teaches he did not. The Bible clearly teaches that he was more righteous and better than Joab. We're going to read that later. You say, then why did he do it? In your handout, it says it was an act of revenge. It was an act of revenge and spite. It was an act of revenge and spite. The Bible says Joab did it against innocent blood. This was an act of revenge against innocent blood. The Bible calls Amasa innocent blood. Now, Joab was talented. He was gifted. No doubt about it. He was courageous in some ways. But he had a major problem that would greatly contribute to his downfall, and that is he would not let go of bitterness. He would not let go of bitterness. He would not let it go. Not going to let it go. And his bitterness led to a spirit of revenge. Now, what does the Bible say about that? Turn your hand out over and look at that. Romans 12:19, Paul writes to the church, and he says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" Now, according to that verse, in whose job description is it to settle the score? God. So if I've got a spirit of revenge in me, is that the Holy Spirit producing that, yes or no? And that's not the Holy Spirit. That's my flesh. You ever heard this? "I don't get mad, I just get even." You know, you probably have heard lost people say that. I hope you haven't heard a Christian say it. But you know, really that's a bunch of baloney and it's a lie anyway. Okay, "I don't get mad." Yes, you do. That's why you want revenge. You know, so that all that's just nonsense anyway. "I don't get mad, I just get even." Well, if you weren't mad, you wouldn't want to get even. So that's hypocritical nonsense. Now, for the Christian, you know what a Christian motto ought to be? "I do get mad, but I've learned to forgive." Just be honest about it. I do get mad. I mean, I think most of us in here, if we just were honest, we would say people hurt us and we get mad. You know? So I do get mad, but I've learned to forgive. That ought to be the Christian motto. That's the way to live life. See? Is that maybe I get mad in the moment, maybe I get upset, but I've learned to go back and exercise grace and forgiveness. Number three. The third thing as we do a character study on Joab is that Joab was a very self-willed man. He had another huge blind spot that would lead to his eventual downfall, and that was a self-willed heart. I want to remind you now, I want to go back in our story to when he murdered Abner. Remember? Abner came over to David's side. When Abner came over to David's side, Abner had killed his brother. Okay? Now, when Joab murdered Abner, the man gave no thought to how his actions would affect King David. He gave no thought to how his actions would affect the nation as a whole. The nation had just come together. The nation's in this fragile state. But in Joab's mind, my issues are more important than the nation. In Joab's mind, my issues are crucial. My issues are the most important. My issues take precedent over what's good for David, my leader, or over what's good over the nation. I've got a score to settle, and I'm going to settle it no matter what. And so, in self-will, okay, David has taken in Abner, and because the Bible clearly tells us it's because of the matter with Asahel, his brother, he just goes and murders him. Just takes him out. Giving no thought to how it affects other people. No thought to how it affects others. Later on, when Absalom rebelled against David, go real quickly, flip over to chapter 18, 2 Samuel 18. Go back there. When Absalom rebelled against David, Joab was loyal to David. But before they went to battle, David specifically asked his three generals, Joab was one of them, he specifically asked them, you remember this? "Deal gently with the young man Absalom for my sake." He specifically, David's heart was he wasn't ready to just give up on Absalom. His heart was to try and restore the young man. Well, you can understand that. That's his son. "Deal gently with the young man for my sake," when you're out there in battle. So what happens? You remember the story? Absalom's riding along. He's got the long hair flowing. His hair gets caught up in the oak tree. Remember that? And so he's dangling there in the oak tree, hanging there from his hair. They go and they get Joab and they say, Absalom's hanging from a tree. And so Joab comes over, looks at Absalom without any regard to what his leader told him to do. He just takes three arrows and puts them right through Absalom's heart. Then he goes in and rebukes David for mourning for his son and basically threatens David into doing what he wanted him to do. We're all leaving. We're all taking our marbles and leaving you. It'll be worse for you than ever if you don't do what I'm asking you to do. You fast forward now, right after that war, David forgave Amasa, gave him a military position. Joab did not agree with David's decision. Now you understand that this was every bit in David's right as a leader to appoint Amasa to whatever job or position he wanted to appoint him to. That was his job description. That was what he was supposed to do as a leader. He could appoint Amasa and do whatever he wanted to with Amasa. But Joab thought he knew better. So in self-will and defiance of King David, he murders Amasa. He's acting not under David's orders. He's acting in total self-will on his own over here. When David is old and David's close to death, it was very clear that Solomon was God's choice and David's choice to be the next king. But again, Joab thought he knew better than God. He thought he knew better than David. And in your handout, it says he attempted to lead a rebellion against David. He wanted to make David's other son, Adonijah, the new king. Go with me to the next book, 1 Kings chapter 1. And the story kind of continues from 2 Samuel over to 1 Kings. So I want you to go to 1 Kings, the next book, chapter 1, verse 5, where it says here, "Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, 'I will be king.' And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, 'Why hast thou done so?' And he also was a very goodly man." That means he was very handsome. "And his mother bare him after Absalom." So he was Absalom's full-blooded brother, this Adonijah. Verse 7, "And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zariah, and with Abiathar, the priest, and they, following Adonijah, helped him." So Joab joins in this rebellion. David is old. David's feeble. So now Joab goes behind David's back, and he's going to try to make Adonijah the king because he doesn't like God's choice of Solomon. And by the way, clearly Adonijah knew Solomon was God's choice when you read 1 Kings 2:15. He knew it. What's my point? Joab won some great victories. Joab was a talented man. Joab was a gifted man. But he had a major stumbling block, and that was stubbornness and self-will. Yes, he was loyal when it was convenient. Yes, he was loyal when he was in charge of the army. Or yes, he was loyal when he agreed with the decisions David was making. But so many times we see him operating under the satanic principle of rebellion against authority, and it would cost him his very life. The last point is this: Joab was a man who died in disgrace. He died in disgrace. How did his life finally end? Well, his final act was to lead a rebellion against David and against Solomon. He had always had a heart of self-will. We saw it in the matter of Abner. We saw it in the matter of Amasa. We saw it in the matter of Adonijah. This is a recurring problem, folks. We saw it when he just thrust the arrows through Absalom's heart in defiance of the king. He'd always had a heart of self-will. Now, boom, it is just fully manifested. And he's going to lead this rebellion now against Solomon. Joab had been a thorn in Uncle David's side for a long time. He had ruthlessly murdered innocent men, and he had disrespected David over and over and over. He disrespected David in the matter of Abner. He disrespected David in the matter of Amasa. He disrespected David's wishes in the matter of Absalom. He disrespected David in the matter of Adonijah. On David's deathbed, He gives his last words to Solomon, his son, who's going to take over. And it was so much in David about this thing that he actually addresses a few men to Solomon that he needs to deal with, and Joab is one of them. If you would, look with me at 1 Kings 2, 5 and 6. 1 Kings 2, 5 and 6. David's, some of his last words now, his last charge to Solomon. Verse 5. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me. He's not talking about this thing with Adonijah. What's he talking about? And what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was about his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his hoarhead go down to the grave in peace. David said he shed the blood of war in peace. When there should have been peace, this man was all about shedding blood. You know what that tells you when David said he shed the blood of war in peace? That lets you know he was killing out of spite. He was killing out of vengeance. It wasn't an act of military warfare. It wasn't an act of self-defense. He killed men in cold blood. And Solomon said, and David said to Solomon, you better take care of him. You better deal with him. How does the man's life end? Well, even when he knew death was imminent, he was going to die his way. And he wasn't going to do it anybody else's way but his way. He goes fleeing into the tabernacle, grabs the horns of the altar. Solomon tells to Benaiah, he says, go deal with him. Benaiah goes to the temple, to the tabernacle, and he says to Joab, the king said, come forth. He said, no. He said, I'll die right here. So Benaiah goes back to Solomon and says he won't come. He says he's just going to die right there. Solomon said, well, okay. Well, then go on and do it. And I want you to notice what Solomon, one of the wisest men in the Bible, had to say about this man Joab. Look with me at chapter 2, verse 31. Chapter 2, verse 31. And the king said unto him, do as he hath said, and fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. Now, in verses 32 and 33, it's in your handout. You can either look in your handout or in your Bible. Verse 32, and the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more what? Righteous and what? Better than he. He attacked men that were righteous and better than him. And then he says here, and slew them with the sword, my father David not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his seed forever. But upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his throne shall there be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up, fell upon him, slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. When you look at the whole of Joab's life, here's what you find. You find a man who carried grudges. He would not let go of bitterness. You find a man who was self-willed. He was very defiant. And his life ended in misery. In your handout, it says that those are the final words in the legacy that he left. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that Joab's life story has ever been repeated by other people? Probably a million times over. What do you think the story of Joab, the life of Joab, teaches us? What can we learn? What do you get out of his life that you can apply to your life? Today, aren't you thankful? All of us in here were sinners like Joab. But you know what God wants to do? God sent His Son to die for your sin, to save you, and to change you. And aren't you glad to know today that if you're in Christ, you're a new creature in Christ. And those old things can pass away. And He makes us a new man in Christ. You let the Holy Spirit take God's Word, take the life of Joab, and apply it to your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.